Country Club FM.
Here we go with today's Bob Almanac. No Neil, but virtual Neil. Are you here?
Let's do it.
Yeah, virtual Neil is here. Let's go and get her going today. This is a Bob Almanac first. Not one, not two, but three Bob Almanac salutes from going back to Friday.
There's a drive into left center field. That ball is going to be out of here. It's gone. It's 7:15. There's a new home run champion of all time. And it's Henry Aaron.
And many people still consider Henry Aaron, Hammerin' Hank, as the all-time home run hitter. Neil, because Barry Bonds is...
Cheater.
Yes. Henry Aaron, class man. He went through some bad crap as he was Babe Ruth. He went through some bad stuff. I mean, death threats, and there were a lot of people didn't want to see him beat the Babe. But he handled it with class, and he passed away on Friday at the age of 86. We found out it was too late. It was an hour or two after the Almanac. We found out that Hank Aaron had passed away at the age of 86. And then, later on in the weekend, Larry King.
So they didn't cancel you. You canceled them.
You're not aware of this?
No, I'm asking you.
You think I got canceled? Are you under the impression that I got canceled?
Have I hurt you, Jerry?
I thought that was pretty well documented. Is this still CNN?
Don't most shows go down a little?
Most people do also. But, yeah, no, I went off the air. I was the number one show on television, Larry.
You were.
Do you know who I am?
It was a pretty famous back and forth. Jerry was somewhat serious, somewhat joking. Larry didn't know what to make of it. They went to commercial short after that. They went to commercial. But Larry King passed away Saturday morning, Cedars-Sinai. He had been diagnosed with COVID-19, was hospitalized a few weeks back from that, and he passed away at the age of 87. And then for my money in the 1970s, this guy was one of the best side characters on a couple of the great sitcoms in the 70s, Barney Miller and Sanford and Son.
Hey, Lamar.
Hey, who?
Mr. Sanford. Buenos dias, huh?
And beans and disease to you.
He was Julio. He was Lamont's friend. Julio, their neighbor.
What's the matter, Mr. Sanford? You got something against chickens?
Not really.
Maybe you got something against goats, huh?
No.
No?
Well, then maybe, Mr. Sanford, you got something against Puerto Ricans, huh?
Now you got it.
Yeah, his name, Gregory Sieta. He passed away, actually, January 4th, but the news didn't come out about it until this past weekend. He would have been 84 today. This would have been his birthday. So it's like they waited just before his birthday to announce his passing. He had been battling cancer. He was Julio on Sanford and Son, and you know, you had Julio and you had Rollo. You had two of Lamont's best friends. Neil, out of Lamont's best friends, who did you like best? Did you like Rollo or did you like Julio?
I only watch Gunsmoke.
So Julio, and he was Sergeant Chano. Is it Chano from Barney Miller? He was on that. I mean, I think he had more appearances on Barney Miller than on Sanford and Son, but he passed away at the age of 84. Now gone, but not forgotten. Monday, January 25th, 25th day of the year, 340 left to go. This was the date Alexander Graham Bell sent his trusty assistant, Thomas A. Watson. Watson would do whatever Alexander Graham Bell would tell him to do, and that included making a long cross-the-country trip, probably on train. I doubt if they did it via vehicle at that time or covered wagons, so that's a long trip. From the East Coast to the West Coast, heading to San Francisco. And Watson was in San Francisco, and Alexander Graham Bell got on the phone. Long distance, first transcontinental telephone service this state, 1915. That was pretty significant. 1937, that was many decades after they first, of course, invented the phone and got it rolling in America. But this was transcontinental. That was a big deal. New York could now call San Francisco and see what's going on. 1937 on radio.
The guiding light.
One of the long longest running soap operas ever.
The makers of P&G soap, the White Castle soap.
The Guiding Light debuted on NBC Radio on this date, 1937. It would be on radio until 56. It was on CBS TV beginning in 1952, and it was on the air until maybe 10 years ago or so. It's a long run for The Guiding Light, 37. 1945.
Lieutenant Audie L. Murphy had fought in 7 major campaigns of World War II. He had been awarded 3 Purple Hearts, a Bronze Star Medal, a Bronze Star Medal with a Bronze Service Arrowhead, a Legion of Merit, 2 Silver Star Medals, the Distinguished Service Cross, and from the French government, 2 Croix de Guerre with Palm, and the Legion of Honor Chevalier.
I think they got something from Belgium, too. Audie Murphy, first lieutenant, one of, if not the most decorated soldiers from World War II, earned the Congressional Medal of Honor. You may have heard what he did. He was a hero. He ordered his troops to retreat, and then, using a blazing tank destroyer, single-handedly held off German forces. He then ordered an artillery strike on his very own position, survived to tell about it, and then he became an actor and actually played himself in the movie, which that excerpt is from, the movie To Hell and Back. American hero Audie Murphy, 1945, receiving the Medal of Honor. 1949, first ever Emmy Awards. Not sure who hosted, maybe Betty White. On this date, 1949, Emmy Awards. Hey, we got this thing called TV. We need some award shows for them. What do you want to call them? Well, we'll call them the Emmys. I should have looked in. My staff is off. I'm actually utilizing Neil's staff here today, so you know that not getting a whole lot of activity from them here today. They should have looked and seen, you know, where did that name come from, Emmy? That's a good question that may be answered on a future Bob Almanac. 1964.
On September 15th, Nike created a revolutionary new basketball shoe. On October 18th, the NBA threw them out of the game. Fortunately, the NBA can't stop you from wearing them.
That, I think, is the first ever Nike Air Jordan commercial, or at least an early one. Nike was founded on this date in 1964. Originally named Blue Ribbon Sports, they specialize in the production and the sale of shuttlecocks for badminton. And then they got into shoes, and, well, that's where they became famous. And they're named after the Greek goddess Adidas, I believe. If not, it could be the Greek goddess Saucony. They're named after one of those. That was from 64. 1971, in the news this date, Charles Manson and a few of his followers, maybe as many as 3, were convicted on this date, sentenced, prison. They had already been convicted, then they were sentenced.
Did you expect this verdict?
The revolution.
What do you mean by a revolution?
A bloody revolution.
You're going to be part of it?
Oh, I'll have a part, maybe. I'll do whatever.
Everybody
I do.
Will be part of it.
I want to take the children to the desert. Your children. There's no reason why your children should die. They'll go to the, we'll take them to the desert.
So, some interesting.
Jack Allen says he journeys.
Hang on. Some interesting comments from followers of Charles Manson following the prison sentence that was announced this date, 1971. So, you go back to that Nike commercial with Michael Jordan. This guy's voice, which I think is pretty iconic.
On September 15th, Nike created a revolutionary new basketball shoe. On October 18th, the NBA threw them out of the game. Fortunately, the NBA can't stop you from wearing them. Air Jordans from Nike.
I'm pretty sure he's the guy who did all of those ABC TV promos back in the 1970s. Don't you think? I'm pretty sure that he was doing that Nike ad. Let's move on now to 1972. This was a bad day for Minnesota sports. It was at Williams Arena. The Gophers were hosting Ohio State, and things got out of control. Somebody kneed somebody in the groin, and a brawl ensued at Williams Arena. Luke Whitty was stomped in the face by one of the Gophers, was knocked unconscious. It's one of the most serious on-court incidents in college basketball history. Dave Winfield was involved in that. He was not implicated or was not suspended, as there were suspensions. The Gophers had to play the rest of the year with a very small roster. I think there were a bunch of suspensions. I can't remember if they lasted the entire year, but Dave Winfield actually then played more basketball, and kind of his legend grew even more because of that, because he got more time on the basketball court that 72 season for the Golden Gophers. But still a very dark, dark moment, dark spot, bad spot, a date that lives in infamy, and there have been a few when it comes to Gopher men's basketball, and this one here was very bad from 72. How about 1980 in Japan? I could do without the music here. Big Mistake by Paul McCartney, the song that Blake Shelton did, Playboys of the Southwestern World. This incident lives in infamy in that song. It was Paul McCartney arrested in Japan, and he was released from a Tokyo jail to state 1980. We do have Virtual Neil here, right? You still standing by?
I'm ready, Jim.
1981 in the news this date.
Just past the official receiving line, the families waited. Fathers, mothers, sons, daughters. And when the doors of the planes opened, the waves of high emotion and pure love swept across the gray concrete runways like a summer storm. You could hear it, you could see it, you could feel it.
It was a jubilant day at Edwards Air Force Base. The 52 Americans that had been held hostage in Iran for 444 days arrived back home. There were yellow ribbons all over the place. I don't know if Tony Orlando was there. He should have been, because his song got all kinds of airplay, and the yellow ribbon thing took off because of that. And of course, the Americans were freed on this date, 1981. They were freed, of course, in history a few days before. We commemorated that, of course, last week here on the Bob Almanac. 1988, Dan Rather was interviewing Vice President and presidential candidate George H.W. Bush. Things got heated.
You have said that if you had known this was an arms for hostages yes. swap, that you would have opposed it. You also said
exactly.
that you did not know
ask,
that
may
you...
May I answer that?
That wasn't right, a question. It was
yes,
a statement.
It was a statement, and
let
I'll
me ask the question,
the
if I may, first.
The president created this program, as testified or stated publicly, he did not think it was arms for hostages. And
that's
it was
the
only later
Mr.
that... And that's
so
me.
Things got pretty heated there. You know, Dan Rather, he's able to ask the tough questions, but he usually doesn't answer the tough questions, like, what's the frequency, Kenneth, and is that a toupee? But that was 1988 here on this date. Oh, and I found this here. This was what I was looking for.
From the religious sacrifices of Denmark to the dungeons of England, join Jack Palance as he journeys to the actual locations of Robert Ripley's world of the strange, bizarre, and true. Come on along Sunday nights this fall. You won't believe what you'll see on Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Yeah, that's the same guy. The same guy. Come along with ABC, they're still the one. That's an iconic voice from my childhood. I don't know about you. That was 88 with the whole Bush thing, and then 1990.
Can I help you?
Yeah, Rebecca Howe.
Hey.
Rebecca, this is from Robin Colcord. You never close your eyes.
Oh, my gosh. It's Bill Medley from the Righteous Brothers.
Something happens to Rebecca when she hears the Righteous Brothers.
Yeah, we meet him, but I never knew that he would fly him all the way to Boston to sing this.
So that was kind of significant on this date. Bill Medley of the Righteous Brothers on Cheers. And then the other Righteous Brother, Bobby Hatfield, but they called him the other Righteous Brother, then appeared later on when she was going to get married to Robin, as I recall. But that was this date, a great day in the history of TV. Cheers, Bill Medley, this date, 1990. And then 1999, in Louisville, Kentucky, man received the first hand transplant ever in the United States, and they're still doing it today. Like I said, I'm using Neil's staff here, and they're going to write me some jokes. What did they write for this one? You can give that man a hand. That's the best they could come up with. That's awful. You guys can go home. Looking into this, this was a legitimate revolutionary surgery. These people that didn't have hands, now they've got hands again. It's amazing. They've turned it into almost routine, it seems, with some of the research that I did. It's amazing. And the first one happened on this date in 1999. We have birthdays now today. Neil, what do you think of birthdays?
I'm ready, Jim.
As the Vikings grew from an expansion team into the football power known as the Purple Gang, Carl Eller became a unanimous All-Pro and the reigning prince of defensive linemen in the National Football League.
I like getting the job done, tackling the quarterback, making him lose 10 yards, but I like it better if I've gotten the hit. The hit
he was Moose.
Is really what you're after.
One of the best pass rushers of all time, former Gopher, and should be Hall of Famer. Carl Eller, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, born on this date, 1942. How many people about my age remember him coming to your school? You know, he had drug issues and had issues with drug use. And how many people remember him coming to your school? I do, middle school, and he would talk about that, dangers of drugs. And then we would get his autograph. I chose poorly. Should have done something that had, was a little more rigorous, something that was going to last. I took an inflatable Viking sword to whatever it was, sixth grade assembly. I took it and had Carl Eller sign it with a Sharpie. I mean, it would have been done with a sharp pen, which I guess Sharpie, talk about ironic. I mean, it would have cut right through that plastic. That was not a good decision. How about something you could frame? Inflatable sword, Jim? What were you thinking? Good grief. Maybe it's packed away somewhere, but Carl Eller, happy birthday here today. 1942, so that makes him 79. From the movie Grease.
Hey, Riz, look. Look, Riz, it's okay. I caught Vin Fontaine trying to put aspirin on my Coke at the dance.
Hey, Marty, you ain't gonna tell nobody about this, right?
Oh, sure, Riz. Look, I'll take it to the grave, okay? Coming through. Come on, lady with the baby.
Oops. Marty made a mistake in the Grease film. She's also on Empty Nest. Dinah Manoff is 65. And as I think before, Carl Eller is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, right? I think he is. Neil, I need you to look that up.
I'll look that up.
No need, because I know that he is now that I think about it. No Neil means I'm on my own here today. Virtual Neil is almost no help. Jennifer Lewis is 64 today from Black-ish.
Show me one of your ideas that wasn't terrible, and I'll show you an idea that wasn't yours.
Yeah. She's one of the mothers. She's the mother of somebody on Black-ish. She's 64. And from the category of lost songs from the 1990s.
When the Tennessee River hits a Nickajack Dam, up comes the water over Nickajack Land. Like a top on a bottle when it's ready to blow. Love is gonna take you where it wants you to go. When you buckle her down and she's a begging to break, well, the Tennessee River make a Nickajack break.
The drummer from River Road. I like this song. It was about 1997. We played it a lot at the station I was at because it was up-tempo and we had a lot of fun with it, but it barely made it in the top 40. But the drummer from River Road and their song Nickajack, he's 55 here today. Now, this person had a little more chart success than River Road. Alicia Keys, 40 here today. Gone but not forgotten, we have Benedict Arnold. He was a traitor, 1741. We also have former pro football player coach Frank Pop Ivy, the only man to be a head coach in the NFL, the AFL, the CFL. I think he coached some in the Lake Conference as well. 1916, baseball announcer Ernie Harwell, classic voice.
Here's the pitch on the way. He swings and fouls it off. It'll reach the seats over back of the Tiger dugout. And the man from Walla Walla will take that one home.
I learned a lot about being a play-by-play man from guys like Ernie Harwell, including every play-by-play man has to know the hometown of every person in the crowd, as you could tell there. Ernie Harwell Born on this date, 1918, gone but not forgotten.
Repeat after me. Iranians' pains come mainly from Khomeini.
Iranians' pains come mainly from Khomeini.
There's Joe Piscopo as Tom Snyder. Edwin Newman, NBC News, and he made an appearance on SNL, 1919. We had Freddy the Foot. There was also Lou the Toe Groza, 1924 Football Hall of Fame kicker. He's in the Hall of Fame with Carl Eller and Etta James.
At last, my love has come along.
That song, Etta James. 1938, now Neil, they're all gone,
but not forgotten.
That's it, Almanac done, Bobathon now.
KDDG Albany, KDDG HD1, Albany St. Cloud.